Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us. We get rolling on a Thursday. Pretty eclectic show today. We'll explain as we get going into what's on tap, courtesy of our friends from Side Pocket. Shane Dennison with yours truly. 75-67 last night, Shane. The Shockers exercised some demons and looked pretty damn good in the process. Mm-hmm. And this is, the next step in moving forward for this program to play a game like this against a very good team, a team on the cusp of a national ranking, and really handle them pretty convincingly.
Yeah, there's some coach speak sometimes that goes on during the course of a conference season and on the conference call. It was pretty much the majority sentiment that even though Wichita State was 0-3, they're a team that could beat anybody any particular
right.
game, and they're not an easy out. Don't be fooled by that 0-3. That's easy to say, especially considering Greg Marshall's pedigree and their history of going deep into the NCAA tournaments and getting good seeds and all that stuff. It's nice to prop them up while they're down a little bit, but then they come out and do what they did to UCF last night. And I don't want to say it puts the American on notice, because this is still an erratic team that is top-heavy when it comes to the production and who they get it from, especially scoring-wise. It's pretty much Samaje mm-hmm. Haynes-Jones and Marcus McDuffie. But they continue to do it, and they continue to shoot free throws and rebound in this conference season at a high rate, high enough anyway, to keep them in games. And they in games that they've lost or lost huge leads before this year, they kind of flipped the script last night. And it got a little too close for comfort, in the second half, but they never totally spit out that lead and built it back up and kind of won going away. They outscored UCF 10-2 down the stretch in a game that UCF made close. But finally got over that hump. They played well for long stretches against Houston, but ended up losing. And they played well for long stretches against a preseason conference favorite be under the radar, but I feel like UCF kind of was. They were 13-2
right.
and 3-0 in the league.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And the Shockers basically went wire to wire. So, like I said, I don't know that they put the AAC on notice.
Oh, I think they do at home, don't you? I mean, if you've got to come into Coke Arena and play them, that's probably one that you don't look at the record, you just look at the scouting report and say, okay, look, these guys are better than their record indicates. Mm-hmm. This is a hard place to play. They just got done beating a team that was unbeaten in conference play. I think probably, like I said, we talked about it yesterday or the day before. Can Wichita State be kind of the fly in the ointment mm-hmm. now? Can they be that kind of team? So we'll see. The answer last night, yes. And they did it. They did it in pleasing fashion. They were good on the boards. They took care of the basketball, didn't turn it over, shot a good percentage, was really good at the line, which they've been, by the way, in conference play. And this is a team that's kind of turned around their free throw shooting woes.
Yeah, they have.
And they got some nice performances from players that we haven't heard from in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Burton last night was good. Jamarius Burton was good last night. Shot the ball well, was good at the line, got to the line.
Where he hadn't been good, frankly.
Right.
Him and Dexter
really
Dennis, they just been okay from the free throw line, both those
right.
guys, and they were both good last night. So
yeah, I mean, Asborn Midgard played well mm-hmm. last night, gave him 17 good minutes, and so nice bit of progress last night. Really good first half, and then they did what they needed to do down the stretch to win a basketball game. So I find that's great progress, if you ask me.
Yeah. Led by 12 early in the second half. It got whittled all the way down, but the Shockers never gave it back, like I said. 869-1240, if you want to talk about it. We'll dive deeper into the numbers here in a second. But Jason is first up. Hi, Jason.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First off, who is this 33 kid? Where in the heck has he been all year? This is what I've been waiting for because I know his potential. And they even said it, you know, last year during the offseason that this kid has a lot of potential. But I really want to compliment CBS for support, you know, complimenting the fan base because they said on there, win or lose, this arena will hold 10,500 every game. And I really thought that was really nice for CBS to recognize the fan base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to guess it was a late tip. There was still 10,000 plus there last night. It was just like a normal game, honestly. And so, yeah, kudos to the crowd to had to stay up a little bit later. Regarding Asbjørn Midtgaard, Jason's call, it's a revolving door behind Jaime
sure.
Echenique. He's going to do as much as he can with that injured foot, talking about Echenique. But I think for the second consecutive game, I think he fouled out against Houston. He fouled out again last night. So it's going to have to be somebody. Poor Bear Chandler took a couple of games a couple of weeks ago where he went back-to-back, and he looked good. To your point, Bruce Midtgaard, a career-high 17 minutes, 6 points, four rebounds, one assist, one block. So
yeah, I mean,
he looked like a guy last night.
That's a doable line, Shane. I mean, if you could get that every single night out of him and maybe squeeze a little more every now and then, that would be a very valuable piece to the puzzle because, my God, he's a big, strong, physical kid. And, I mean, you would love to get more out of him than that. I mean, Echenique to me is the dude's tough. He's out there. You know that he's not feeling it. He still blocked four shots, misdirected a few more. He was still a factor in his 27 minutes. And, yeah, you got to learn to play without fouling, and I get that whole thing. But,
well, when it comes right down to it, they got 15 fouls to give between Midgard,
right.
Poor Bear, and him, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
And it couldn't have been easy playing against Taco Fall, a 7'6 kid from UCF. I know that's just one game, but looking at his numbers and looking at the way he looked and played last night, I wonder mm-hmm. about him. You better have a pretty specific set of skills if you're going to play in the NBA. And
not
when
sure
you,
what his
when
are.
You're 7'6 and athletic as he is, he comes up a little short for me. Pardon
me
the pun.
Too.
6 points, seven rebounds, two blocks in 32 minutes. He's a putrid free throw shooter, first of all. It's not even Shaquille O'Neal. He's 27%.
Yeah, he made two by mistake last night.
2 for 4 last night, but that was probably a season high for him. He doesn't step out to shoot it, which is kind of all the rage in the NBA now. You got to be able to take your game away from the basket. He looks great in warm-ups. You know, he can hook them in with the best of them, and his footwork's good, and obviously, the wingspan and just being 7'6", you can't teach. But they're a good defensive team most of the time because of him. Shocker shot 52% last night.
Yeah.
And they were above 50% the whole time, and the Shockers were plus 13 on the boards. So, and I don't want to turn this into an indictment of Taco Fall, maybe just had a bad game. But, you know.
But those two stats were the difference in the game, that and the fact that they took care of the basketball.
And McDuffie again.
Well,
the two guys that, again, are counted on the most that are going to take the bulk of the shots, McDuffie and Haynes Jones, delivered again last night. And Haynes Jones did it from inside the three-point line. Mostly.
Yeah, because he didn't hit a three-point shot last. And the Shockers were bad from three-point range, you know, four for 15. But those two hit, you know, 15 of 28 shots. You'll take that. That's a nice combination.
They were 21 of 37 inside the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
21 of 37 against a team that's anchored by a guy at 7'6". So, I mean, there were some things last night that were to be excited about. But again, just like we keep talking about, Bruce, though, it's never, and is this good or bad? It's never seemingly from one game to the next the same guy that's part of the supporting cast. Last night it was
Mitchell. It's a little of both, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a little of both because guys are getting opportunities to step forward. And last night Burton was good, really stepped forward. Dexter Dennis is on that arc. I think he's officially on it now, don't you? That kind
he
of
he really rebounds
arc
well for a guy that's 6'5". Nine more rebounds last night. I mean, that's.
I mean, that dude is going to be. He's a player. There is no question about it. But the rest of it is kind of. And this is the challenge that Greg and his staff have, is kind of in a 40-minute window making quick assessments and judgments of who is going to be a good, solid contributor on that particular night. And you sometimes you may not have a lot of time to make that decision. You may get a 2-minute test, and it's like, okay, I like what I see, boom, you're playing.
Right.
Or I don't like what I see, you're out. What Ricky Torres was almost a non-fact. Well, he had a couple of assists last night, right?
5 minutes, though.
But he only played 5 minutes, yeah. Right? So, I mean, you know, so he's – you got to kind of figure it out very, very quickly, and he's got a lot – and you know that he's going to have – McDuffie and Echenique and Dennis now, and Smaje Haynes-Jones. I mean, so you've got four guys that you know that he's going to play a lot right now. Then after that, it's kind of mix and match, isn't it, really?
Yep.
I mean, we don't know what Eric Stevenson's going to be like right now. At least he hit both of his shots last night, but only played 12 minutes, but still dished off four assists.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you take all those guys in little doses, and if they play like they did last night, that's going to be part of a winning formula. But
yeah,
I don't want to paint Eric Stevenson with just an offensive brush, but if he's not scoring, then he better be able to provide, like you said, four assists and one turnover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get the score going in the right direction when you're out there because – you know, after the Louisiana Tech game and maybe one of the home games after that, we started thinking, all right, this guy's instant offense. You know, this guy can really shoot it. This guy's plays older than a freshman. Well,
yeah,
things got a little tough going on the road and his shot wasn't falling. And, you know, his confidence really hasn't bounced back 100% since then. But you take little baby steps like he did last night. He had his only three-pointer, which, you know, I think, he's got the potential being the third best three-point shooter on the team behind McDuffie and Haynes Jones, if he just believes it, because we've seen it. I mean, he was in a tree against Louisiana Tech in one other game at home where he was just shooting the lights out. But
right,
whoever it's going to be on a particular night, like you said, you've got to at least add an ingredient of some sort and throw it into the pot and help this team win, because it's a big two and a large supporting cast of other players, although, as you mentioned, Dexter Dennis is trying to become that third guy.
He's separating himself, and he's a guy. I mean, that's a guy that you immediately go to when you're watching Wichita State now. I mean, he has that kind of skill set. And while it's a little uneven, he still does things that make you go, okay, this is a guy. You know, Shane, I mean, look, they shot the ball exceedingly well last night, and we've talked about this a million times. When you shoot the ball well, even though they didn't do it from three-point range, but when you shoot the ball well and you're as good as you are from the line last night, you only missed one, you know, it covers up a lot of other things. But there weren't a lot of other things that you could take exception to last night.
No, there wasn't. And if you said before the game, you're going up against UCF and you're only going to hit 4 of 15 threes, you'd have thought, I don't know.
Not good.
Because how many baskets are we going to make in the lane? Well,
you wouldn't think that they'd score 75,
right?
But that's what they did.
18 points in the paint to UCF's 18 points in the paint. So that was a stalemate.
Yeah, you'll take that.
And they were hitting jumpers. They were hitting the mid-range jumpers. Mittgaard, McDuffie, Haynes Jones, like I said, was 6 of 8 inside the three-point line. Speaking of McDuffie, he's now gone over 20 points, 3 consecutive games, and he's been in double figures in 15 straight, second longest streak in the Marshall era. Clay Anthony early scored in double figures 19 consecutive games back in 2013 and 14. So Cincinnati's coming up next. Doesn't get any easier because the Bearcats are 4-1 in the league. Victors in their last three.
But this is when you want to play them.
Sure.
You're coming off of a win. You've got a great feeling, unbelievable atmosphere last night. You win a game against a team that was favored against you, 3 points coming in on the road. You get that kind of monkey off your back. You know how it is. You go to practice today with a totally different point of view and feeling. And you had a chance to celebrate last night. I'm sure you saw the celebration in the locker room.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a lot of relief. The joy that goes with relief and all of those things. I mean, that was a moment that this team really needed to experience. And now let's see if they build on it a little bit. I mean, there's ways that they can improve. You know, I mean, everyone talks about scoring, but you want to defend. You want to put two halves together where you really defend. They were really good in the first half last night. UCF hit shots in the second half. And, you know, and hit 13 of 26. So you want to tighten that up a little bit, but you rebounded extremely well. I mean, you pounded that team on the boards. You might want to share it a little bit better. I'm sure that Greg would like to see more than 13 assists on 27 baskets, but you know, now I'm nitpicking.
Right. Good problem to have.
Right. Right. And that's a good thing. So you're catching them at a good time and, you know, go play and get after it. You know, Cincinnati's the one with the pressure on it. They're the ones that are coming in 4-1. Wichita State's 1-3 in the conference. And but I would agree. I think that Wichita State gets everyone's best attention. I mean, I just don't think you come into Coke Arena. If you're an experienced coach, hell, even if you're not experienced, you just look at the way they played there and you got to respect that home court.
Yeah, you're not going to come in here and just sneak out with a win with everybody unaware. The place is going to be jammed. They're going to be into it. And consequently, I think that can sometimes work against Wichita State, even though they kick ass at home. Knowing that you better up your game or you're going to get beat when you go to Coke Arena, sometimes that ups the opponent's game and it excites them a little bit more. But
yeah.
The Shockers are 77-5 at Coke Arena in the last six seasons. So
Shockers have a nice run of NBA guys now, don't they? And Marcus McDuffie is certainly going to be in an NBA camp. I don't think there's any question about that. Dexter Dennis has that kind of look, that kind of rangy 6'5 guy that has some really solid athletic skills. You know, I think he's going to be a guy that gets a shot. That's upping the profile, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it started with Tre Murray, you know, back in Greg's early years, but he has constantly and consistently developed NBA-type players in this program, and I think that it's going to continue now. So it's good to see. It's good. Last night was one of those, okay, this is the light at the end of the tunnel, and that light may still be a train coming the other way a few times this season, but you could see last night a little bit of what this thing could become, you know, and where this thing is going. Realizing that you're going to lose Marcus and you're going to lose Samaje Haynes-Jones, but if you looked around and saw some guys last night that were kind of pulling their weight.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to feel. You don't want to feel like you're just totally dependent every single night on McDuffie and Haynes Jones. And I think last night was kind of one of those nights.
And not 2 weeks after they looked like they were circling the drain, Kansas State put a pounding on Oklahoma last night.
What
74.
A win
good for them. Good for them.
I mean,
Dean Wade had 20 points in his second game back. They were 0-2 in the league. Now they're 3-2. And we talk about putting the AAC on notice that Wichita State's don't go shoveling dirt on them just yet. Same could be said for Kansas State.
No question.
They shot 50% from the field against Oklahoma, who held opponents to 37.7 coming into that one. And Lon Kruger said it best. They just got whipped.
Well, I mean, look, Kansas State's one of the weirdest teams in the country. I mean, they're ranked 12th in the country starting. Look for all the world like they're overranked, way out of their minds. Now all of a sudden are playing back to that level. I mean, you can talk all you want about how they got to an Elite Eight last year. I don't care about that. They were in an Elite Eight last year, and they've got three of the key guys that got them to an Elite Eight last year. This is a team that should be in the mix, and here they are at 3-2. What, 3-2 now in the league?
Yes.
But playing, I mean, that's a big win last night, winning down there against that team.
Mm-hmm. And Barry
so,
Brown,
yeah, I mean,
the reigning Big 12 player of the week, 25
yep.
more points.
Well, he's the difference right now, Shane.
He's
the difference in the three wins. I mean, those the two wins when they absolutely had to have it, and they and their season was kind of on tilt. All you gave the ball to Barry Brown and said, "Get to the basket, my friend," and he went and did it in two games that they absolutely had. And then last night was a much more fluid performance. You get D. Wade doing his thing. And looking the way that he played last night, that's a different kind of basketball team. So, great. Better late than never. But my K-State fans, man, I love them. You know, 2 weeks, they're ready to, they're ready to send Bruce Weber out on a rail again. And Now it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're kind of back now on even ground. It's just a remarkable study in elation and frustration with K-State fans.
What's on tap next on the show? It is an interesting interview coming up, we hope. Anyway, Derek the Black Beast Lewis, UFC fighter. He's the number 2 heavyweight, and the UFC is coming to Intrust Bank Arena. We will talk to him. March 9th, he's going to fight Junior Dos Santos, UFC, IBA. Derek Lewis, coming up next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.